Good evening or good morning, depending on when you're watching this, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our bracket rundown show.
It is.
Where we run down a bracket.
Yeah.
So, David, go chase it down.
Okay.
This is our bracket rundown show. We've been doing these for 3 or 4 weeks now, but we're changing the format up a little bit tonight. What we've done for this show, well, first of all, let me introduce everybody. I'm Chad Sherwood. We've got to my sides up here, John Stalica and David Griggs. Down below, Matt Sikowski and John Titel. Rocco Miller might be joining us a little bit here tonight. He is running late.
He's on assignment,
yep. Yeah. But what we've done for tonight was I asked everybody, all of us that are here, myself included, and Rocco, who's not here, to submit their top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference, to me, ranked 1 through 55. What I then did was I did a little cross-country scoring of them and came up with a seed list, which I proceeded to bracket. And we're going to actually reveal a bracket on the show, so not only go over where teams rank, but we'll actually be able to see potential matchups and everything. David.
We have the Selection Sunday effect going on up here because right now you are the only person that knows what the bracket looks like. So we are seeing it as the audience is.
Yes, everyone.
Right, I mean, you can see it. It's right down there, but we can't see it even though it's down there.
So does this mean we're going to be unveiling teams alphabetically like last year?
No, that's a stupid way of doing it. We're doing it line by line. That might be the dumbest thing I have ever seen, and anybody, whoever had that idea should be shot.
Okay, let's do Tuslika's way. First of all, we'll go through every team and ask, are they in or not? So Abilene Christian, are you in the field?
Chad, this is the dumbest. People, okay, you're going to get through the C's, and
no Abilene. What we're going to do is I'm going to start with the first 16 teams, which are the what we call the protected seeds, or the ones that are highlighted in yellow on that blank bracket on the screen right there. I'll reveal them one at a time. Then we're going to go one seed line at a time as we get below that to keep things moving, or we'll be here all night. But Now, when I cross-country scored these, let me go right into this here, because in a couple of cases, I actually came up with a dead heat tie. I actually broke the tie by dropping the best of the worst ranking for each team and then recalculating. Oh. So I had a mathematical formula for it even. But we had a dead tie for number one overall, believe it or not.
Wow. And as you're revealing this, well, we'll see what it looks like. But I guess you're going to reveal the region and the location for each of the 16 as they're unveiled.
They will. But by virtue of the tiebreaker, the number one team overall, this was a surprise to me. Titel, let me start off with you here. The Virginia team gets in number one overall in the East region there.
A bit of a surprise in terms of the fact that they lost to what I presume is another number one seed we're going to be seeing very shortly. Very nice for them to have the generic genre area home court advantage in the DMV in D.C. I hope to be there myself.
Right. And actually, they were in a dead tie with the team that they did not – that they lost to, Duke Blue Devils. Virginia tied, we're number 1-2, tied for first place. And Matt, let me bring you in here. Virginia versus Duke, if you had to make a call, who is the better team?
Man, it's weird. It's like, I'm going the opposite of probably convention is most people think Duke's a better team. They might say Virginia is a better resume. I actually think Virginia might be the better team, but I went with Duke just slightly as the better resume.
Virginia is the better team with the better resume.
Well, I'll tell you what, David, I'm going to pull up both those resumes on the screen here. We'll be able to look at some of these resumes here. And you think that Virginia has the better resume despite the fact that Duke beat the number one team in the net and the number one team in our bracket?
Duke beat them at home by 2, yes. Okay. I just think that, like, winning at Maryland, I mean, they're both really good. And
Duke is undefeated on the road. Duke
also has the win against Kentucky on a neutral floor, and they blasted them. I don't know where Texas Tech is, but, I mean, that's another potential top 5 or 6 seed that they beat. But, like, with Virginia, you know, I just think that the win at Maryland, the win at Wisconsin, and with their only loss being on the road.
Wisconsin was neutral.
Yeah. I like Virginia slightly more, and I like their team slightly more. But okay. They're both really good.
Well, I don't think it's going to surprise anybody who's on the other two teams on the one line, other than David. But
well, no, it should be. I mean, one of these teams better be Gonzaga because they beat Duke.
Number 3 overall is Tennessee, the number one team in the nation according to the rankings. And quite honestly, this is the team that I had ranked number one overall. Stalico, how did you have Tennessee? Did you think they belonged above Virginia and Duke, or do you have them below them?
I think I would have had Tennessee number four overall because I'm still a little bit higher on Michigan right now.
Well, this Tennessee profile is a pretty impressive profile too. I'll pull up here, Tytel. What about Tennessee? Why do you have them below Virginia and Duke? If you did have them below Virginia and Duke.
I think it's really a coin flip because they're all so great, and I don't think that one of them stands head and shoulders above the rest. When you look at the resume, very similar to Duke. A weaker strength of schedule, admittedly, but 5-0 on the road versus 4-0 on the road. The adjusted offense number 2 versus number 3. It's not like an exact replica, but they both lost to good teams in neutral sites by single digits. I mean,
But Duke lost at home to Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad loss. But, like, they're missing two of their freshman phenoms. So, like, I give them credit, and I think the selection committee will as well.
Right. That's a really good point. David, the number 4 overall team
is Gonzaga. The Bulldogs win over Duke. And
the team that Sleek already mentioned Michigan does come in.
Wrong. You've got
Matt,
to
read. Matt, is Michigan belong on the one line?
Yes, I have them actually just ahead of their in-state brother right now, thanks to Michigan State taking a little bit of a tough loss to Purdue right now. I probably like Michigan State better, although we'll see now they're without Josh Link for the rest of the year. So we're going to see how they just – like they've done most of their good work actually without him, so I'm not like too much sweating that, but he's still probably their second most talented player on the roster.
And again, other than David, I think none of us are surprised by what these four teams are on this line.
I mean, it's hardly surprising that all you all got it wrong. And I'm the only one that's right. I mean, no, I'm not surprised by that.
Well, David, I got to tell you, your team that you're claiming didn't even make it 5th overall. The first of our 2 seeds also in the South region there in Des Moines now is Michigan State, number 5 overall. And I guess let me go ahead and I'll go to the right screen here and pull up that Michigan State profile versus the team you want, David, and ask you about them, these two teams. So we've done this a few times, but tell me why you think Gonzaga should have been here above Michigan and Michigan State.
Okay, well, as soon as Gonzaga loads, you can't see their dude.
That is them without any quality wins. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no. That's them with they have their top win is way better, is a lot better than anything Michigan State has. They have the wins against Purdue, Maryland, and Iowa, but all of those are at home. Michigan State hasn't beaten anyone that's near the protected seed line away from home. Gonzaga has beaten a 1 seed away from home. On top of that, you look at Gonzaga's losses, Tennessee, a 1, at North Carolina, most likely a 2 or a 3. And if we're going to give Duke a pass for losing to Syracuse without 2 key players, how about giving Gonzaga a little bit of a pass for losing by 3 to a 1 seed without 2 key players and then on the road at North Carolina without 2 key players.
But
nobody else that we're going to look at has a win as good away from home as Gonzaga, and no one else that we're going to look at has 2 losses without 2 key players against top 10 teams, and that's the only games they've lost.
Matt, can you set him straight here? Look at what Michigan State has done. Maybe they didn't beat Duke, but they didn't play Duke.
Yeah, Michigan said that.
They played at Purdue, at Louisville. They didn't
actually win. 5 because Texas has 5 wins away from home against teams in my field, and then you have another 3 more Q1 wins you could add to that as well.
Yeah, and David, quite honestly, I think if Michigan State and Duke played on a neutral court, I'm not saying that Duke is winning. If Michigan State and Gonzaga played on a neutral court, Michigan State is winning that game.
No, they're not.
Absolutely.
They'd be favored, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you have Tennessee and Duke ranked ahead of Michigan State.
But I think it also
Gonzaga beat one of those teams and almost beat another one, and they did that without 2 key players.
Of course, Michigan State is also going to have another player out for the rest of the year, so we also have to monitor that.
I want to go back a second here. I did reveal number 6 overall is Gonzaga there on the 2 line. You noticed that top 4 teams all went to 2 different pods, the Columbia pod and the Columbus pod. Virginia, Duke, and Tennessee, they're all 3 of those teams. Their favorite pod would be to go to Columbia. So we have an interesting battle down the stretches who does not get to go to South Carolina. So,
but I think the other thing is Michigan would love to trade places with Michigan State.
I go to Des Moines instead of Columbus. That might be true. But yeah, Gonzaga coming in at number six overall. And
yeah, have fun, Michigan, out in Anaheim against Gonzaga.
Number seven overall, also on the two line there, was Kentucky. And Tytel, let me ask you about this Kentucky team. Clearly a two seed at this point.
I think when you beat Kansas and have the resume that they have, I don't know that it's a slam dunk. I could see that. I could understand if somebody wants them on the three line with some other deserving teams here. I don't think they're on the one line at all. So I feel very good about them as a number two. And fascinating matchup with Virginia in terms of like a veteran team with a great defense against these young freshman phenoms and Calipari and Bennett in terms of offense versus defense. I think it'd be a fascinating matchup if they make it that far.
Yeah, you see potential regional finals here, Virginia, Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State, Michigan, Gonzaga, and Sleek, let me bring you back in here. Tennessee could potentially in the regional finals match up with the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Ooh. Yeah, this would be actually a rematch from last year where I think North Carolina won during the regular season.
Yeah.
I would just like to point out that everybody on the board right now, Gonzaga is the only team that's beaten someone on the one line and not lost to anybody not on the board right now.
How about Virginia? How about Duke?
Virginia beaten that's on the one line, Chad?
Duke has beaten Virginia. That's what I meant.
Sorry. And they've lost to somebody not on the board right now.
I'm just going to move on to the next line, and because this is just going to give everybody a headache. Let's move on to the three line here.
And
this is one of the teams I want to discuss here. We have coming in nine overall, the Kansas playing in Tulsa, in the Midwest region there, which would be a tougher North Carolina, Tennessee to have to play Kansas in Kansas City in the regionals. But Tytel, you had Kansas rated number 8 overall. Stalika, you had them number 15 overall, barely a protected seed. I'd like to maybe start with Stalika and then go back to Tytel. Stalika, why do you have them so? Why would you have had them another seed line lower?
Well, I think one of the problems for Kansas is while they had some impressive wins earlier on in the year, they only have one true road win right now and actually seem to be trending more towards possibly a 500 record in the Big 12, which seems a little hard to believe.
Right, and Tytel, do you want to respond here? Because you had them a lot higher.
So I have them higher based on – I understand that RPI is the old metric and we're not using that, and that KPI is not exactly what they use. Like, to rank number one in several different things, certainly a home court hero, 11-0 at home but 1-5 on the road. I think much like I have the Trey Jones injury saving Duke a number one seed – the Azubuike injury, I think, saves Kansas. I understand he's not coming back and Trey Jones has come back. But the fact is that, like, I don't think they lose to West Virginia by one or to Texas at all if they have Azubuike. I know they don't, but, like, I think that they're good enough when healthy to be this good.
But they're not going to, though. He's dead for the year.
Yeah, I mean
– are you a doctor?
Dr. Matt. Okay, that's an interesting debate, but if we would drop Kansas lower, Matt, number 10 overall, also in the three line here, should be showing up here. And I got to go to you, them. There they are, your team.
Yeah, I just this week had them at 9 ahead of Kansas. I do think there's a pretty clear delineation between 8 and 9. Like, there was no thought of putting Marquette up on the two line yet, but I think now you had another Q1 road win yesterday night, and I think Marquette's playing like a legit three seed at this point. And the metrics are starting to catch up. Their resume still probably outperforms the metrics a little bit, but I think at this point it's hard to argue them being a three seed.
It's a little bit interesting that they are not the first place team in their conference even at this point, and that conference leader is not in the field yet, but Marquette rated higher than Villanova for –
Marquette did a whole lot better out of conference.
And that's a problem with Villanova with the Penn losses, Tytel, and with the with the Furman loss. But David, how about Louisville coming in at number also?
Ooh, that's
three line.
I like this Louisville team a lot. I mean, I'm not going to say it's outrageous. I mean, they've certainly done enough to warrant it. And when you look at their profile, why not? Like, losses to Tennessee already in the field over. They have a win against Michigan State, who's already in the field, a loss to Kentucky, who's already in the field. So when you do sort of like the Elo chess rankings as far as who have you beaten and who's beaten you, this is about where they come out.
Yeah,
the only exception
road win at North Carolina is
very solid win at North Carolina. You know, the Pittsburgh loss stinks a little bit, and Indiana is close as it was. But when you look at their losses, all of them, with the exception of Kentucky, were relatively close games against good teams.
That's a good point. Let's finish off the three line here. Tytel, let me go back to you for the last team on the three line. Was Iowa State, is that a shocker to you?
It's not, and this team is trending, unlike Kansas, who's heading down quickly. Iowa State has heading up. Lindell Wigginton missed several games early this year. He had, I believe, a season-high 28 the other night. I think that you should really keep an eye on the Cyclones. Coach Prom knows how to get the most out of the Hilton Magic. And, I mean, nothing hugely terrible on the resume besides losing to Arizona. Who does that this year?
You have three quadrant one road wins, and that's very impressive.
Yes.
That's why I had them. I personally
two and a half. Oh, I don't – like, we've got to get Oklahoma State out of
– Well, true. Yeah, that's not really much of a quadrant. Although you're looking at a Big 12 with eight teams in contention for tournament bids at the moment and a 10-team conference. So kind of business.
Yeah, that's what I think. I had all of them except for TCU. I think I had single-digit seeds too at my field.
Yeah. Let's start looking at the four line. And Sleeka, let me bring you back in here. The first team that we're showing up here on our four line will be Michigan's potential regional semifinal opponent, and that's Houston. And I want to get your thoughts on that. Then I want to discuss some of the rankings of Houston, actually, because this is a tough team to rank, given that they're not in one of the power conferences. They're a step below that, I guess.
Well, look, trying to follow a trajectory similar to Cincinnati last year, where the Bearcats actually ended up as a number two seed, and they still have a win against LSU that's looking much better by the day to hang their hat on as far as non-conference play. They're still going to have some of the They still have Cincinnati coming in February, so we'll have to see if they're able to get a few more quality wins, or what are they going to bring a team like Cincinnati up as we get later into the show.
Yeah, and Matt, they just did beat Temple tonight in the rematch, the one game that they lost, but you did not have them even in the top four seed lines. Why not?
Guys, there's not a lot on their resume, and I don't think their metrics – I guess they're higher than that, they're lower in some of the other metrics, like I like them a little better on the five line myself because I think their resume is very thin. And I don't know if they're so good that, like, where last year's Cincinnati team I kind of thought was a little bit better than their resume. I'm not sure if Houston is light years better than a five or a four.
I tell you, you would have had them here 4 points away from being undefeated, right?
A possession away, a charge away. If you remember that call from earlier this month where it could have gone either way, I think it was still the right call. And it might have been a different call if it was at home instead of on the road in Philly. But, no, I think this team is for real. I mean, 5-1 on the road, we'll see. They get Cincinnati coming up twice in both February and March. So plenty of opportunity to see what they're really made of. But if you want to take David's argument that Oklahoma State should be a Tier 2 and only one thing in the upper left quadrant, right?
That's one way to look at it. Although their next game, which they may game it, maybe a bit of a trap game here with Cincinnati coming up on February 10th, February 7th at UCF.
That's a big one. Like, UCF is, a pretty good team, especially at home. If they win that, I'm going to start to feel a little bit better about them.
All right. Let's keep going through this, through the four lines here. After Houston coming in at number 14 overall is Villanova. Finally, Matt, the team that is in front of Marquette in the conference standings, but we were at one point thinking the Big East would not get a single protected seed. Now we've got them with two of them.
Well, because that's what you see the separation where Villanova, no conference losses, Marquette only one, and everyone else four or more. Mm-hmm. You see something like that, that's all of a sudden how you can get separation. And on the flip side, you're not going to hear another Big East team called for a long while, I think. So that's the positive and the negative. And, like, hey, given how generous I think Marquette's been to our conference better than the past few years, I'm not apologizing too much for being on the positive side of this.
And a chance once again for Virginia Villanova, according to the bracketing here.
That's... Oh, man.
Yeah. and don't forget.
In a game that I can set the over-under at about 110.
Yeah, don't forget a chance for Michigan-Houston. We remember how that one ended last year.
Yep. David, number 15 overall, second to last protected seed. We do have Texas Tech coming in here. I thought this was a bit of a surprise. I did not have them as a protected seed, but did you?
I If I did, it wasn't by much. It was about in the 15, 16, or 17 range. But I have questions about their team. I think by the end of the year, it's going to be pretty clear whether they are or they aren't. But if you look at them now, neutral floor win against Nebraska, are they even in? Is TCU even in? They haven't done much away from home. And is Texas, while they might be in, they may not be. Texas is all over the place. So, like, you know, I think Oklahoma, K-State, once you get down in this year too, but they have those wins at home. And you just wonder, like, when you compare them to everybody else on the two line, including Houston at this point, I think, they've probably done less than everyone else.
Well, yeah. Stalika, you would have had them up on the three line, correct?
Overall? Texas Tech, I would be. Not so much the paper, but more or less this would be the team I've seen with my own eyes here.
Okay, so you had eye test to go out there.
Yep.
All right. Let's finish off the four line here. Matt, last team on this line was a team that just survived tonight at home. I'm sorry, on the road at Penn State. Needed overtime to get the win. But the Purdue Boilermakers coming from nowhere to suddenly be a protected seed over the last few weeks.
Oh, and I think they're definitely a quality team. There's probably a few teams on this board I take Purdue over right now on a neutral court. They're a really good team. Their resume, I think, starting to catch up to it. And Carson Edwards getting just enough help here, sort of like Marquette with Howard, where you got the star player, but you got some decent complementary players around him. And I think in Purdue's case, probably a little more even 2-7, where Marquette and you get Howard, and then the Hauser brothers are both very good. And after that, you cut all three of them off, you'd have Marquette in trouble. Where Purdue, you got the one guy, and then about 2-7, pretty even. All can maybe give you 15 a night in a given night.
Well, those are our protected seeds. That would be our Sweet 16 teams if form held in the tournament. Tytel, let me ask you, is there anything that shocked you from what we did on the first four lines so far?
I don't think about shocking. I don't know that any one stands out as like the fiercest to me. I love the fact that in the East you get a coach in Jay Wright and another one in Calipari that have some titles to their credit. Not that Krzyzewski and Izzo is that shabby either, but a lot of great matchups you got here.
Yeah, and a real dangerous Midwest with Tennessee, Kansas, Purdue, North Carolina. That's probably the scariest region, just looking at the teams that are in it. Although Kansas is still heading the wrong direction. But let's go one full seed line at a time right now. And David, let me start with you.
Would it have killed you to put Kentucky and Louisville in the same region so we could have gotten them in the same
We've seen that enough, David. But let me show you the entire five line. We've got Wisconsin, LSU, Nevada, and Virginia Tech. Uncle Buzz coming in there on the five line.
Yes, and his flimsy resume.
And how about those 14? David, this is right where you had them. Come on.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And you got – let's start with that VaTech team. I want to pull up their profile. The resume was flimsy. One of the things about this Virginia Tech profile is some of the wins they got earlier in the season are looking better and better, especially the Purdue and the Washington wins.
Yeah, it is. And Syracuse, depending on which team showed up, looking a little better. But when you pull away from it, there's only one thing on there that really has you holding your nose, and it's that loss to Penn State. Virginia, North Carolina, like high protected seeds, albeit those weren't close games, but you know, not exactly confidence instilling. But on paper, I think this is about right.
And Matt, what about this Nevada team here? Another one loss team, although their one loss was just atrocious. But
yeah, I just snuffed them up to the five line because I think they are playing a little better now. I wouldn't have them any higher than this because they're. There's basically nothing on their resume. Their resume is Arizona State neutral, who may or may not be in the field.
And how about the fact that we've got Virginia, Villanova, and Wisconsin all in the same half portion of a bracket there? That could be a painful game. Yeah,
fans of fast-paced basketball like myself will not be tuning into that region or will be turning their eyes away on the screen.
We'll not be going to D.C. there. Let's go and show the six line next, and these are potential matchups for all those three seeds. And we've got there Buffalo, Kansas State, Iowa, and Maryland. Tytel, what are your thoughts about what we're showing here on the six line now?
I really like the Kansas-Iowa matchup just because, like, it seems like Fran McCaffrey that's been alum Fran McCaffrey, of course, has been struggling at Iowa for most of his career in terms of he always got talent. He can always get a couple Big Ten wins, but he never really gets over the hump. And I'm not saying Dedrick Lawson is just going to lay down and let him take over in Tulsa, but I really think that this might be the year that Iowa takes care of business and gets a little farther in the tournament. Granted, I also think this is not the year that Kansas is going to blow the Big 12, but you never know.
And, well, David, I got to bring you up on the team that's good, that would potentially be matching up with Matt's Marquette team, Kansas State. You would have had them several seed lines higher.
Yeah, a couple. And again, it just gets down to the games that they've won away from home against top 25 teams that are really tough to beat at home. I think that when you pull it up there, they've won at Iowa State. We have them – I mean, we have Iowa State on the three line. You know, they beat Texas Tech, who we have in the field. They won at Oklahoma, who I think Oklahoma, while they've struggled, they still only have one or two losses at home. You know, and their losses really aren't that bad. I mean, you know, Texas Tech's really good. Marquette's really good. Texas is schizophrenic, and then they've got two others.
Yeah, the one even – this one, A&A, that like where their coaches could be fired here in 2 months.
That was
Uncle
stupid.
Buds will likely be resigning in 2 months.
Yeah.
That's the one that got me.
Yeah, the A&M loss just coming, you know, this past week, on top of already having the Tulsa loss, David, it's hard for me to put this team as a protector.
Well, Tulsa at home is not Tulsa neutral or Tulsa on the road. I mean, Tulsa's not – has been pretty solid at home. I'm not saying it's a good loss. You don't really take any confidence.
Well, yeah, but I will say you could look at that and I don't think – not sure if Dean Wade played in that game or not, but A&M, I've seen SEC teams have gone in there and breezed through College Station, so that's
– A&M is a bad loss, and that one's pretty rough.
Yeah.
That knocked them down like two seed lines for me.
I put Tulsa up there on the right, David. It's not a good Tulsa team. I'm sorry.
They're 11-2 at home.
Okay.
It's not a bad – they're not good. I'm not going to say that they're a good team, but they're 11-2 at home.
All right. Why don't I turn to you for the seven line here. These are the potential matchups for the two seeds in the second round of the tournament. And we see there Florida State, Oklahoma, Minnesota, and Baylor. Pretty decent collection of seven seeds, isn't it?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if Kentucky and Florida State comes to fruition because, well, Kentucky fans continue to outdraw Seminole fans even in the state of Florida. or you look at another dangerous matchup, and that would be Gonzaga and Baylor because the Baylor Bears have really been on fire since Big 12 play started, and they've gotten most of their roster healthy again.
Actually, let me turn to two of you on another team that's on this line, though. The Oklahoma Sooners. Matt, you had them 37th overall. Tytel, you had them 22nd overall. So I want to let the two of you both say – you know, defend where you had this Oklahoma team. Matt, why don't I start with you?
They're not playing all that well right now. They got the four Q1 wins, but that's if you take a closer look at Northwestern and Oklahoma State, those are clearly not tournament teams, or I think I'm not out of place saying that. Florida's a team I like, probably because they're so good at most of the metrics I have toward the back end of my field now, but one home win, one neutral win against real teams, and otherwise, I'm looking at that resume. The next most impressive thing to me, probably at this point, would be the win over Wofford.
That's a nice win over Wofford, actually. Even though it was at home. But Tytel, you like them a lot better than that.
I do, mostly because of the strength of schedule. I understand that the whole month of January seems like it's been one big losing streak for them. And I understand that TCU by 2 points at home is not really going to put you head and shoulders above everybody else. So I don't love this team at this line, I guess.
I will say this for Oklahoma, though. There is not a single team that's a 200 or above on their schedule, nor will there be.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Very impressive strength of schedule, yeah. Well, there might be, because Rio Verde Grande Valley could lose a few more games and fall under 200. So I'll give that. But, David, we also had Minnesota coming down this line. That was the other team.
Not always impressive. It depends on what night you catch them. Some nights many looking really good, other nights they've just sort of crapped the bed. But overall I think that this is about the range they belong in.
Well, let me stick with you and bring up the 8 seeds. These are our potential second round matchups for our one seeds. We have both Mississippi teams, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, yeah, along with Cincinnati and Syracuse out here.
Mm-hmm. Cincinnati's interesting. It's kind of hard to know what to do with them because they've been winning their games, and they had a real nice come from behind win at Temple, I think, earlier in the week. But they haven't really – a couple things here. They haven't really beaten anybody that's great, and they haven't exactly been dominating, but they have been winning when you look at the margins of victory.
And we just ignore that East Carolina game, right?
Yeah, and you just kind of ignore that one.
Matt, I want to bring up – the Ole Miss team is on this line. I personally had Ole Miss higher than this. You had them lower than this. And I wanted to get your thoughts on what you don't like about them, because I see a team with a nice road win at Mississippi State, a Baylor win that's looking a lot better, and while they do have 6 losses, none of those are horrible losses by any means.
Yeah, I probably did factor in the Baylor win enough. That's I still, even though I had Baylor up in this range on my seed list, and so when you not think it doesn't come to mind initially. So, and that I know they've fallen back a little bit since that great week against Auburn and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, three losses in a row also doesn't – I mean, they're not playing good basketball right now, but I still –
yeah, at this point, these teams are generally so close that it's not going to break my heart if you're a line or two higher.
Okay.
And that as long as we're not putting teams in the field, I'm Temple, like, at this point.
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed that Rocco isn't with us right now because he would love to see our 9 line here. I'm going to go ahead and give the reveal. And keep an eye on the West region, as we have a potential for a Syracuse-Washington first-round game.
Oh, my God. This is horrible. This is ridiculous.
David, what's so horrible about this line?
Auburn, what are they doing there? NC State, well, I mean, at least NC State's come close to winning a couple of games.
Well, does anybody want to – Sleeka, do you want to defend Auburn being on the 9 line?
Not really.
does anybody want to defend them being at the 9 line? Like, somebody voted.
Well, I had them there because, I mean, they're still in the top 20 in most of the advanced metrics. So that's where I realize you can't quote them, I think, wearing a home uniform at this point. But at some point, you have to say, okay, do you want to see this team? Is this team good enough? Like, I don't love them on the eye test, but also I'm not going to ignore people horrible. Far smarter than me having them in the top 20 still.
They did finally look like a top 25 team the other night and blew out somebody. Who'd they play the other night? I mean, it was a team that they would expect them to dominate, but they –
Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri, who I believe is going to be in the South region on the – or I'm sorry, not the South region, the Midwest region on the 11 line there.
That's if a tutor can edit our board here.
Quick note here, Stalika, Cincinnati Auburn game. That game would be in Columbus. How would that, if that did come to pass? How would Columbus take Cincinnati?
Well,
it would be a lot of Bearcat fans that would be making the short trip up 71 to Columbus. Mm-hmm. I think the real interesting matchup would have been had Michigan and Cincinnati faced off. Everyone in the arena, outside of a few Michigan souls, would have been pulling for the Bearcats in that one.
Speaking of the team that plays in Columbus and therefore is hosting and could not play tournament games in Columbus, Ohio State on this line also, Tytel. Do you think they belong here on the 9 line?
Man, they're hanging on for dear life. Had you told me, like, even a month ago that Ohio State would be lower than Syracuse, I wouldn't have believed you. But obviously things change from week to week. I think that Tony Bennett will be very happy with either team he gets to face on the 8-9 line there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. Matt, the 10 line should be showing up on the screen right now. Some more first-round potential matchups. Florida State versus Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Minnesota, Seton Hall, and Baylor getting the Wofford Terriers.
Yeah, I feel like this is a line I came from because actually I had Texas on the 9 line. I think I might even had Alabama up on the 8-9 line. I had Seton Hall right at the back of the 9, and I had Wofford as a 10, so I like seeing these teams on the field, in the field comfortably. I think they all should be in at this point.
Yeah, and David, how about the Wofford team here? We have them up on the 10 line, which would mean that if they lost in their conference championship game, they might still get in this field.
Yeah, I actually had them, I think, a little bit higher. So, okay. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're overseeded. Obviously, you know, the glaring piece of their resume that's lacking is the quality wins. They have the win at South Carolina, and they have the win at UNC Greensboro. UNC Greensboro, a pretty good team at home, and Wofford blew them out. But there's nothing bad on their profile either. When you look at their losses, all of those teams are way into the field already. So
three of those four games are very competitive.
Yeah.
Competitive games, and their metrics are tournament caliber metrics, not top team metrics, but even those predictive metrics, the Matt, that you'd like to go by are there for Wofford.
And when you put them next to Auburn, for instance, it's better than Auburn's profile.
Let's see here. I'll throw them up against Auburn right here for you, David. Auburn does have that win against Washington. And speaking of Washington, Rocco Miller joining us. Rocco, hey, how are you?
So, you know, Auburn lost at South Carolina. Wofford won there. Wofford has a win on the road against a team with a pulse. Auburn doesn't.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put the bracket back up. And now that Rocco's joined us, Rocco, I want to give you first a quick chance to see what happened in the 8-9 game in the West region. I know you would love that.
I would love that.
Syracuse
2-3 zone against 2-3 zone. I mean, I might put the rest of the country to sleep, but it'd be fun for me at least.
On that note, there's our bracket we've revealed so far. We're just getting ready to show off the 11 line here, which is we're getting towards the end of the at-large field. But the 11 line, the matchups, first round matchups, Buffalo is getting St. John's, K-State versus Nebraska in an old Big Eight matchup, Iowa Lipscomb and Maryland TCU. Who wants to start us off on this line here? Actually, let me go to Matt first. Nebraska team, you would have had them a couple lines higher than this, wouldn't you? At least one line.
Yeah, I'm so good because I really liked that team before Copley went down. I know the results weren't totally showing up to that, and I guess partly too is I saw them look so impressive in Assembly Hall, and that was back before the wheels fell off in Indiana. So that might have been clouding my judgment a little bit. But, like, again, the metrics like them a fair amount. I like them as a team. Now, without Isaac Copeland, I think they're in big trouble because their biggest weakness is no depth. And now either Tandy Borchardt or Nana, I think I'd take it or something. I'm probably brutalizing his name, but, like, neither of those kids are anywhere near the level of Copeland.
And Rocco, I know you're a fan of a lot of these under the radar schools. How about Lipscomb getting in here on the 11 line inside the cut line for the at-large bids?
Well, I think Lipscomb's proven themselves. I think the only way you could keep them out is if you're convinced that Belmont's not very good, but I think Belmont's starting to really sway even folks that don't pay attention to under the radar. So, you know, losing at home to Belmont, although being a close game, does hurt a little bit. But winning at TCU and destroying Liberty on the road the other night, this is a really, really good team from top to bottom. It's more than just Garrison Matthews, which I believe last year was more just him. Now there's a really solid starting five.
Whereas, Chad, I applaud our committee. I did not stuff the ballot box. If anybody's wondering, I think I had Wofford in the 35-36 range and Lipscomb around 40, 30.
I'll tell you quite honestly, I was the person who had Wofford rated the highest of any of us, not even David. So.
But this is a good pick. I think it makes all the sense in the world. If you're going to have TCU on this line, then how the hell do you not have Lipscomb on this line, who went to TCU and won? And when you put them side by side, Lipscomb isn't just as good, it's better. So, I mean, I like that our committee did that. Don't get me wrong. I hate everything else you guys did, but I like that you did that. Well, I still think you're wrong about Gonzaga.
Tytel, I got that TCU profile there up on the left. Is this a tournament profile, really? I mean, we just put them in, and we know we're towards the bottom of the at-larges here, but what have they done?
They're the best five-loss team in America because all five losses are to five good teams. Obviously, a glaringly empty Tier 1 quadrant up in the upper left, but would you see the remaining schedule, plenty of opportunities. I think they've had some injury problems as well. I don't think that they're one of the top 20. They're not one of the top 25 teams in the nation, but plenty of opportunities to work their way back in. It'd be weird, though, if they – I mean, they could end up with a bunch of losses to top 40 teams, but at some point, as they say, you've got to win a game.
And Stalika, we also saw St. John's coming on this line here, and Seton Hall on the last line. I mean, these Big East teams, is this where they belong?
Well, any team not named Marquette or Villanova is just going to have to get out of the heavy jumble that is the little late in the Big East. But St. John's did stop the bleeding with a decisive win at Creighton last night. But even that was offset a bit by the home loss to Georgetown back on Sunday.
Right. Well, they can completely change their season around this weekend if they somehow win at Duke, which they can't do, but they would completely change their season around.
I'll say this much. I would like them getting there. I think KenPom has Duke a 19-point favorite. Give me the Johnnies at 19. I'll say that much.
As we get to the 12 line here, we are down to the final four teams that are going – the final four at-large spots here. But interestingly enough, we actually had two teams – that came in as auto bids in between some of these, some of the first four teams. So I'm going to show those two teams first. These are not the first four games, but these are just the two.
So they're kind of sandwiched in.
They're sandwiched in. Actually, yeah. VCU would have fallen in between the first two of the first four games and Belmont between the third and the fourth of the first four teams based on the rankings. And Rocco, you just came back from, not from a Belmont game, but from some OVC action, I believe. So, but what about this Belmont team and our committee choosing them as the best team in the OVC and right near that cut line for an at-large bid?
Yeah, I just came from the Jacksonville State, Murray State beatdown. Jacksonville State was, connected on all cylinders tonight. Really impressive win, really impressive atmosphere. It's the first sellout in since they became a D1 school, so pretty cool for the wow. Gamecocks. But I think I do think Belmont's probably the strongest team. I saw a lot of weaknesses in Murray State tonight, albeit that was a very tough atmosphere for them to play in. And Belmont last week was one of the best teams in the country, going to Murray State, winning on the road, and coming back from down by 14 to beat Austin Peay. And I think with Belmont's two wins over Lipscomb, and if Tytel's statement is true that TCU is the best five-loss team out there, and that includes a loss to Lipscomb, we have to say Belmont's pretty damn good too.
Right. The getting swept by Jack State and a loss at Green Bay is Tytel. Is there a chance that you could see Belmont getting an at-large bid? Should they, let's say they win every game and lose to Jack State in the OVC championship game?
Since we're short on time, I'll keep it brief.
Yeah.
Hell no!
Thank you. Okay.
That's the bubble.
But they are barely it, and so any loss probably would push them down. That's one thing you got to remember. But let's go to our final four at-large teams. We'll do two teams at a time. We will start in the East region there. Wisconsin's potential first-round matchup is against nobody. Okay, let's
see. All right. Good choice.
The winner of an Arizona
State. No. I prefer
UCF game.
Yeah, I really prefer no one there. Good Lord.
This, I think what we're going to see here, and you're going to cringe even more at the other 12 game, is the fact that it's so hard to find 68 teams right now.
And I'll go on the soapbox here that I'm sure David and Rocco will enjoy. If we're looking here, give me a Lipscomb, give me a Wofford, give me a Belmont. I don't need to see this crap in the major conference teams here.
I'll take a UNC Greensboro.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a UNC.
Second Southern Conference team. Uh-huh. Or preferably they get the auto, Wofford gets the at-large, makes it easy enough. But, yeah, I don't need to see either of those teams in the tournament.
Well if
I know Greg Gard would love to see one of those two teams, but.
I tell you guys, if you are screaming about that, I'm going to show you the last two teams that got in our other first four game. And anybody that's watching, please turn your volume down because you're about to hear some screams.
Oh, no.
Here's our other first four game right there on the in the South region, Temple versus Indiana.
Oh my God, Indiana.
And see, I react that way toward Temple. I don't have Indiana in my field either, but I still sort of consider them Temple. Good, like what nice home win against a Houston team. Well, I guess I don't think it's as much a Houston as some of the others here do, but like, man.
Okay, I'm curious to see the top teams out. Well, Chad, I do have a question because I know that there's an auto qualifier, and I'm curious where they finished, and that's Yale. Because honestly, I like them better than certainly Indiana.
I'll get to that in 1 second, actually. Here, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up the top four teams out. And Tytel, you just told us that a hell no on Belmont. You told us a hell no on VCU the other night, also. You see the four teams that we just put in, Arizona State, UCF, Temple, Indiana, the top four teams out, these were the next four teams according to our voting. It's UNC Greensboro, Murray State, Florida, and San Francisco. So where do you go, John?
I mean, I would love to see ASU out of there, obviously, and if they keep losing as they are against my boys as we speak, that might happen. I would love to see Florida, UCF, just for the in-state battle. If the only thing I want to see with ASU and UCF is Johnny Dawkins and Bobby Hurley playing one-on-one. That's it.
It's just rough when you look at that. I mean, it's Delico, you had a comment on it also. I mean, we reached out the four teams, but then we have to put one of these guys in, don't we?
I would take a UNC Greensboro right now. I mean, if not for the simple reason that Death Spiral doesn't seem to be a strong enough adjective anymore. No at-large team that I'm aware of has ever lost seven straight during the regular season and still gotten an at-large bid.
Yeah, and there is that UNC Greensboro profile. They haven't done anything bad, Rocco. They haven't done anything good, but they haven't done anything bad.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this on one of the shows in the last week. I just think they, compared to like a UCF or like a Temple, I like them a little bit more for what they've done thus far, because I think part of the criteria has to be what bad have you done. And the only thing Greensboro's done bad is get killed by Wofford, but Wofford's easily within the bubble right now. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not going to ruin the resume in today's landscape.
And I'll tell you guys, it was by one point, by one single vote. If one person had had Indiana one spot lower or Greensboro one spot higher, Greensboro would have made our final spot over Indiana. That's how close it was. But Indiana did get, by the virtue of the voting, somehow with that seven-game losing streak, that last spot in the field.
If Indiana can't go to Rutgers and win, how are they going to go to ETSU and win? But that's what UNC Greensboro did.
Yeah. I would also note, actually, San Francisco was not technically our fourth team out. Our fourth team out by the voting was actually Hofstra, but they're actually in the field in the 13 line. That's why they didn't show up there. I'll put that 13 line up. Hofstra, and I would also note that receiving votes, Yale and New Mexico State both received votes from our field, from our committee as well. Vermont, who's in there also.
I must be thinking of the year prior, though, because I thought Hofstra had actually played Villanova out on Long Island. But
that would be a fun one.
And Jay Wright against his former team there. Another real fun game there.
Texas Tech, Vermont. I'm much more excited about the 4-13 games than I am the 5-12 games.
Houston and Mexico State would be fun,
Indiana.
The only fun 5-12 game, I think, is that Nevada-Belmont game, honestly.
Vatek-VCU. I mean, you know.
Oh, but yeah, that'd be, yeah.
Matt, the other teams that were considered here, these are the only other teams that received any votes, should we showed up, Utah State, Arizona, Creighton, Butler, Clemson, Pittsburgh. So if we want to go beyond those first four, again, where do you go when you take it? You take Indiana, Arizona State, UCF out of this field? I don't know where you go.
I actually had Florida, USF, San Francisco, and Utah State in mind. That would be definitely the metrics part of me, like in all three of them. Because they're all either top 40, top 45, and KenPom and the net. So I like them. I like the unknown. I guess Florida's not totally the unknown. They've lost a lot of close games. They need to win a few more. And I think, I will say Florida, it wouldn't stun me if like a 2-3 weeks from now they're like in an 8-9 game. So I think they're that caliber of a team. They seem to start producing results to show that.
Right, and the Florida team, lots of opportunities ahead of them, and the predictive metrics are there. And it's kind of like when you look at where Purdue was a few weeks ago, their predictive metrics were there, their resume wasn't, and the resume is now caught up. I think it's the Florida team that you're right, Mac, has a real shot to make a run here if they could start winning games, springboard off that Ole Miss win the other night.
Well, if they can win their next three, they'll be doing pretty good.
They'll be doing very, very good.
You don't necessarily think of it in Florida, but their style, they're a very defensive-oriented, slower-paced team. That can play anywhere. So you can see them maybe go in and win at Auburn, for instance. A game like that, they might frustrate Auburn with a slower pace and squeak out like a 65-63 game.
Hey, and don't forget, the coach's dad is on the committee.
I'm going to go ahead real quickly here. As far as the remaining teams in the field, quite honestly, I'm the one that chose them. We didn't actually vote on them, but I'm going to show you what the rest of the field is.
Yeah, but Chad, is there a way to get coverage and discussion on these teams for anybody that might like to see it?
Just scroll down. We did it last night under the radar. We do it every week. We do love these teams, but, you know, they are single bid leagues for the most part. Yeah. 14 line there, Iowa State, a potential Texas State matchup, Marquette, Northern Kentucky, a little dangerous opponent there, Matt.
No, they're not. No.
It's Kansas against Irvine, Louisville against North Texas.
Irvine's a lot more dangerous than NKU, I think.
The 15 line, Kentucky's first round opponent in this bracket would be Radford.
Ooh, that would be kind of fun.
Michigan State, South Dakota State, North Carolina gets Montana, and Gonzaga gets last year's Final Four Loyola Chicago team.
How far
the money have fallen.
And Ben, I will say Tab Izzo would hate to see the thought of playing Mike Dobbin the first round in a 2-15 game.
Oh, that's scary too. You're right. Yeah. Finally, the 16 seeds. There's six teams on this line here. Virginia gets the winner of a Norfolk Prairie View matchup.
Sam Houston, they're making sure they all pull the 116 2 years in a row.
Right,
is that an in-state war? Norfolk,
Virginia. Yes.
That one.
Bucknell and Ryder finishing up the 16 line. But let me run through each of you for any other final thoughts you have about the way this bracket. I'll leave it up on the screen here so you can comment on it or anything else. And Matt, let me start with you here.
Yeah, I'll be seeing how bad it is. I'm really hoping that USF can do the impossible, win at the Kettle. I'm hoping Utah State can beat Nevada and they can start creeping into this field, because good Lord, do I hate those last four teams in. Like, really, if there's a reason to say, hey, we're going back to 64 even if it's just for this year, just take a look at that first four and say, why do we need four more at-larges?
I would love to see that. We get rid of the playing games of the 16 line. We could bump Hofstra and a Yale up a line and be great. Rocco, how about you?
Well, don't tell Mr. Turner that. He wants that money no matter who's in those games. But I just wanted to point out, you know, we're scrambling trying to find teams to fill those spots, and I'm not by any means saying UNC Greensboro is going to make it that far when we get to March. But I do want to call out Clemson because, yes, Clemson hasn't done a lot, but they have beaten Lipscomb by a lot. And you know, if Pittsburgh's still in the bubble, they've got that win and a road win at Angry Frank. So – if they can just beat a couple of tournament teams in the field, they quickly would, I think, emerge into the field just because there's so much other swap in the bubble area. And they don't really have a bad loss. I think their worst loss is – their only loss to a team outside of the field is Creighton, and that's on a neutral court. So Clemson's still fairly clean. They just need the wins.
And they can't do things like they did against NC State last week.
Yeah,
that was ugly. Yeah, they blew that. But, hey, they're showing that they can compete at least.
Slika.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing a lot of cannibalization in some of these conferences, especially the Big Ten. There was a checkpoint earlier in the year when it looked like 10 teams were probably going to be getting in, but teams like Indiana that are really endangered, even Ohio State, Nebraska, Minnesota to an extent, they're not quite safe yet, but – at the same time, even if we haven't mentioned your name, you still got plenty of time to add a few late wins and possibly get into a play-in round or maybe even the 11 line.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially that Indiana team. That's the big, most offensive thing to me that we did was put them in. I would rather have Greensboro in over them. And Indiana, this team, given their remaining schedule, I don't see any chance that they're going to. They may have a 10-15 game losing streak at the end of the day, but they are barely in. One more loss and they would be out. By the time we release our next brackets on Sunday, they should not be in any of them.
I will say, it sort of feels like Arizona State last year, where they did so much good work early that, like, how much water is too much water to take? They're challenging that. They really are.
Tytel, go over to you for thoughts.
I have some friends who swear by geography when it comes to building their bracket and then making their picks. The two seeds, several jump out to me here. Kentucky might have to play Virginia in D.C. North Carolina might have to play Kansas in an Elite Eight game. Excuse me, a Sweet 16 game in Kansas City. And then Gonzaga would get to have Michigan travel all the way to the West Coast to play them in an Elite Eight game. It's obviously many weeks ahead before it shakes out, but fascinating to see the different advantages and disadvantages based on geography for a few of the two seats.
Absolutely. David, let me let you finish it off.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised. I don't hate this nearly as much as I thought I would. And don't hate you. I mean, we still got some things grossly wrong. Gonzaga belongs up on the one line. We've been over this. They've beaten the one seed, and they've not lost to anybody not on the two line. No one else in this field can say that. But anyway, if you're going to get that wrong, a lot of the things you got right. I was shocked that in a good way that Lipscomb and Wofford ended up inside the bubble. I know that you have to peel back the paper or the onion, so to speak, to see it in their paper, but those teams are pretty good. I think they're both top 40 teams, and I think they both belong inside the bubble about where they had them. The teams that are kind of going the wrong direction, Nebraska, the dark web, really working against them, four games below 500 in conference right now. That would be selection because the dark web working against them.
You done?
What the? Why do I get buzzed when I try and bring the truth wire? No handy for Endura Hand. I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Ooh.
I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. You can take a closer look at this final bracket right below us here on the website. I think it's also going to be up on the Bracketology tab up there. And we've got lots more content coming this weekend. Coming next week, we're back with our full slate of shows as well. But on behalf of John Stalica, John Titel, Rocco Miller, make sure you check him out at bracketeer.org. You have a write-off about tonight's game coming soon?
I think so, yes. Okay. I'm doing that tonight.
We got David Griggs over here somewhere. We got Matt Sikowski. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon.